Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. Just over 2 weeks of the election, and boy, I'm very excited about today's show. There's 34 Senate seats in the state of Missouri. They're up, half of them are up every other year. We are joined by the two candidates in the hottest Senate race in the entire state. Representative Deb Leibner, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Senator Andrew Koenig, thank you for joining us.
Yep, glad to be here.
Talk about West St. Louis County. But first, I want to say thank you for joining us. But we did have, both of them came in with masks. I assure you, we've tried to keep folks far enough apart where we could actually have a dialogue where we could understand you. Senator Koenig, why don't we start with you? Tell folks a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yeah. Thank you for having me today, and thank you, Representative, for being here. I'm a small business owner. I have five kids. Two of them we adopted through foster care. My wife, Brooke, and I, we've had as many as 16 kids throughout the years, often. We have only just a few hours notice before we get them, or, you know, less than 24 hours notice. And so that's definitely been an enjoyable process. A lot of hard work, different circumstances. My oldest kid is 14. He goes Parkway South. I graduated from Marquette High School, born and raised in the district. Businesses are hurting out there. That was one reason why I sponsored the first income tax cut in nearly 100 years that passed, back a few years ago. And that's helping them make it through this pandemic. I think it's very important. I'm also very much against corporate welfare. I stood up on the Senate floor 27 hours fighting, giving $500 million to a multi-billion dollar company. TIF is a huge problem. It takes away money from schools in our region and takes money away from our roads. And so I passed the first TIF reform bill a few years back, and it's been very effective at preventing the use of corporate welfare in that nature. So I'm certainly asking the voters to reelect me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Mr. Leibner, tell folks a little about yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and appreciate the opportunity to be on the same stage with you as well. You know, as a healthcare provider, I'm passionate about making sure that during this pandemic time that people have access to health insurance, especially if they've lost their job. Looking forward to having working families continue to have access to the healthcare during this time period. As a small business owner, I'm also interested in us being able to open up this economy safely again. My opponent, where he talks about some good things that he's done, he's also putting Missouri at risk for insurance companies. He's okay with insurance companies not covering pre-existing conditions. He's never voted for Medicaid expansion. He's even voted to not have insurance companies cover autistic treatment for families that have autistic kids. He's not voted for the Medicaid expansion. If we could expand Medicaid, it's an infusion of economic activity for our state. It's going to create jobs, and it's certainly going to have the opportunity to provide our friends and family and neighbors with health care. I am running for state senator to be able to protect women's health care choices, to make sure our public schools continue to be strong, and to work for the people of this district and not the corporations. So I've done that as a state representative, and I'm hopeful to be able to do that as a state senator as well, and really appreciate the opportunity to be with you here this morning.
Well, Representative, let's talk about COVID. I mean, I think since March, since you filed for this position, who would have thought the world would be in the state it's in? Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a few different approaches. Governor Parson has let local places make their own decision on things like masks, as St. Louis has. Where Nicole Gallo, it's a statewide order. Mm-hmm. What do you think the state's approach to COVID should be, and which side do you fall down on? Should there be local control or a statewide order?
Well, Missouri's been a hot spot for the last 3 or 4 months. The COVID virus has spread out across our rural communities, and what we're doing isn't working. We've lost 7 hospitals over the last 5 years in this state, and when healthcare is suddenly a huge concern, we don't have the ability to provide the services that we need for the people in this state. I say let's try a statewide mask mandate. We know masks help control the virus. It helps decrease the transmission. We know it keeps our family and friends and neighbors safe, and it helps our small businesses. If we have to do another shelter in place, it will devastate small businesses. I say we try a statewide mandate. What we're doing isn't working for us.
Senator Koenig, you've dealt with these things in the Senate. You've seen the state change a great deal since you filed for re-election. What is your position? Do you think places like St. Louis County should be able to have a mass mandate like they have now, like Sam Page's enacted? Or do you think Governor Parson's approach of letting local people decide, maybe places like St. Clair County don't? What do you think the state's approach to COVID should be?
Well, I certainly think I believe in local control with this. I think a statewide mandate is being a little bit dishonest to voters, because how are you going to enforce it? Are we going to send the highway patrol after to start ticketing people? Are we going to throw people, are we going to take that single mom and put her in jail because she's not wearing a mask? You know, I think when it comes to little kids, I have 2 5-year-olds, twins. Now, one of my 5-year-olds would probably wear a mask and it would be fine. But you know what? I have another 5-year-old who is not going to wear that mask. And so, you know, one of my issues is how are we going to enforce it? I think what we need to do is we certainly educate people. Hey, mask helps protect protect people. Yeah. And, you know, whenever we go out, we try to social distance. We try to wear masks when I'm campaigning. We certainly wear masks when we do that. And I think the heavy hammer of government shouldn't necessarily come down, but it should be more through education.
And I will say again, we are in just outside of the district you're running for, but we are in St. Louis County, and both of you did come in definitely wearing masks, and we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about policing. Senator Koenig, you know, there's your district, the 15th, passed Prop P just a few years ago by an overwhelming margin to add more funding to the area's police officers. Do you believe there should be a reprioritization of how that funding is spent on policing in St. Louis County?
Well, I definitely support our police. No society in the history of the world has survived without some kind of police force. I am endorsed by the police, both at the Fraternal Order of Police at the state level and at the local level. Crime rates come down when you have good policing and more police. If you start removing police or defunding them, that's only going to cause crime rates to go up. Also, I sponsored a bill, concurrent jurisdiction, to allow our Attorney General to prosecute murders in the city of St. Louis. We have a murder epidemic here in the city of St. Louis. There's been over 200 homicides this year, which is far surpassed what happened last year, or it will by the end of the year. And I think if we can prosecute some of those murders, it will deter violent crime. We need to get those violent criminals off the streets. And
let me follow up with you. Sure. If you're reelected, will that concurrent jurisdiction bill come back in the Senate next session?
Well, we certainly passed it through the Senate this year. Now, the House, I guess part of it would depend on the makeup of the House, because obviously they did not take it up. But it's something our governor wants, something our attorney general wants, and it is something that the Senate passed, that we passed this year.
President Lavender, your district came out in strong support of Prop P just two years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Do you believe there should be a conversation about maybe changing the prioritization of how those funds are spent?
You know, I voted for that when it was there. I've always supported our police officers, and I have never advocated for or spoken about defunding the police. But let's talk about what Prop P did. It ensured that we could add a second officer to the cars so they could be safe as well as the community. It increased their salaries, which I've advocated for in the Budget Committee for years, that we are not paying our people as well as we should. It enhanced training for peaceful conflict resolution, as well as putting body cameras onto our police officers and on our dashboards. The only person sitting here today who's defunded the police is my opponent. In 2013, he voted to allow federal agents to be arrested for taking guns from violent criminals. And in 2014, he voted against local, state, and federal officials being able to come together for strike task force teams to keep our community safe. So I'm for supporting the police. We need to look at how we're doing that, salaries, cameras. That's what Prop P was passed to be able to do.
Senator Koenig, we're talking about money. Let's talk about, we hillbillies don't always like to admit it, but your district far outkicks its coverage on funding the state budget. Manchester Road probably itself puts in a huge chunk of the state revenue. If you're reelected your last 4 years, is there some way you'd like to change the priorities of the state government spending, since frankly your districts and your constituents pay more than their fair share to it?
Yeah, certainly. I want government to get out of picking winners and losers in the marketplace. I don't think we should be funding Stan Kroenke and stadiums. I certainly voted against any kind of stadium funding bill. And I will continue to stand up for, you know, when we hand out $500 million to multi-billion dollar corporations, that is your taxpayers. That's my constituents' money. And I don't think that should happen. And I'll continue to fight that. And I've proven that I have fought that. Another bill, you know, I think we need to further TIF reform. That's why I sponsored a bill this year that we passed through the Senate. And it would outlaw the use of TIF in floodplains. You know, the Merrimack River that runs through our my district. I mean, it
sometimes over your district, right?
Yes, sometimes over. And unfortunately, I mean, we've had 2 100-year floods, and doing development, or at least paying people to do development in those floodplains, I think is the wrong thing to do.
Representative, again, us folks out in rural Missouri don't always like to own it, but your district does pay far more than its share of the state's budget. If you were in the Senate, you've been a budget, I think everybody knows you as a scrupulous studier of the state budget. How would you push to change the state's funding priorities?
Well, you know, having worked on the state budget for the last couple of years, it's becoming harder and harder to balance it due to the corporate tax cuts that my opponent has passed. We are not getting the same amount of revenue in our state, and it's reflected in our priorities. We don't have as much money to spend on education or higher education, healthcare, or roads and bridges. Missouri's economy has stagnated over the last decade. If you look at the surrounding states to Missouri, we are dead last in economic growth, and we're at the bottom of the barrel if you look at all 50 states. Until we look at our priorities of where we're spending our money, our economy will not grow. So we need to stop cutting taxes. I'm not advocating that we increase them, but I do think we need to stop cutting taxes so we can invest in the people of this state for economic development. States around us have done that. It's time for us to invest in our people.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and finish our discussion about Senate District 15. In the meantime, why don't you do me a favor? Go to showmissouri.com. We talk about the history of Missouri one county at a time each week. This past week, we're in Clark County, the far northeast county. We talked all things about how one time the sheriff got arrested by Iowans over a border dispute and almost started a war. Go to showmissouri.com. The history of Missouri one county at a time. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Ann Wagner, and I approve this message.
I'm Jill Shoup. Here's the truth. I don't support Medicare for All.
Does Jill Shoup think we're stupid? Whose name is on this Medicare for All bill? And this one. It's yours, Shoup. You can't fool us. You pushed for a complete government takeover of healthcare twice.
You deserve a representative you can trust.
We know. That's why we don't support you. Jill Shoup's already shown she's too radical and too extreme for Missouri.
Pay-to-play Nicole Galloway is embroiled in scandal and controversy. Her alleged corruption is shocking. Galloway took nearly $500,000 from an organization whose leadership was convicted of bribery, embezzlement, and money laundering. Missouri's attorney general said Galloway committed a felony. And now the Board of Accountancy is investigating Galloway for abusing her office for political gain. Pay-to-play Nicole Galloway, a disturbing pattern of corruption. Another shady Jefferson City politician.
The Defund the Police movement is a real threat to public safety and Missouri families. I'm Eric Schmidt. As your Attorney General, I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with law enforcement to put violent criminals behind bars. That's why I've launched the Safer Streets Partnership with federal prosecutors in Missouri to give stiffer sentences to violent felons. That's already resulted in over 300 charges being filed.
Eric Schmidt, Missouri's tough on crime, law and order Attorney General.
It's a circus, all right. Jefferson City politicians trying to distract you with an old school sideshow. Amendment 3, 5,000 words of smoke and mirrors put on the ballot by politicians. The truth? Amendment 3 has lobbyist gift loopholes and lets insiders draw legislative districts that protect their favorite politicians. No wonder judges call it misleading and unfair. Send a message to those clowns. Vote no to their dirty tricks. Vote no on Amendment 3.
It's the Koenig crush. Everywhere he goes, Andrew Koenig crushes Missouri working families. Koenig opposed a plan to save our good-paying auto jobs. He supported an extreme corporate agenda that could have cut take-home pay for workers. And in the middle of a pandemic, Koenig wants to crush us again by ending protections for people with pre-existing conditions. So look out, St. Louis County. Andrew Koenig's coming to crush you.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren Missouri.
Welcome back this week in Missouri Politics. We are joined by the candidates in the middle of the hottest state Senate race in the entire state of Missouri, the 15th district in West St. Louis County. Senator Andrew Koenig, thank you for sticking with us.
Yep, thank you for having me.
And Representative Labner, thank you for sticking around with us.
Of course.
Let's talk about another thing in the state here. We've probably the hottest, most divisive issue I've ever seen in my professional lifetime is abortion. Now with the Supreme Court changing potentially again before voters even go to the polls on Election Day, it's probably a bigger issue than ever. Senator Koenig has carried several bills that have made Missouri probably the most restrictive state on abortion in the history of statehood. What do you think the state's policy on abortion should be?
Well, I certainly think Missouri needs to do better protecting women's health care choices. I have advocated for clinics who offer care to expectant mothers to tell them the truth about their health care options if they still want to continue to have funding. I've advocated for increased ability to provide prenatal care for mothers to help lower our infant and maternal mortality rates. We all know my opponent sponsored the bill banning abortion in Missouri with no exceptions for rape or incest. He has voted for rape victims to not have access to emergency contraception. He's even voted that businesses can discriminate against women for using contraception. That's an extreme position for this district. It's an extreme position for women, and it's a very extreme position for the state of Missouri. So I would work different.
There's probably more talk than I've ever heard if the Supreme Court changes again that Roe v. Wade could be overturned. I've seen you passionately fight over the issue of abortion your entire time in government. What do you think the state's position on abortion should be?
Yeah, I don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do, but there's no question I'm definitely pro-life. I certainly prefer, adoption over abortion. Like I said, my wife and I have been very involved in adoption. We've been very involved in foster care. There's several bills I've passed to make that process easier. One bill that I sponsored and passed through the House and Senate is a Safe Families bill. Too often we aren't giving those help to those families, and too often those families may have a medical emergency and they can't take care of their kids. And my bill would allow them to pass custody over to another family, and so that way they can have that break that they may need while they're getting treatment, or maybe they're going into drug rehab. And my bill gives protection to those families so that they can go out and get that help without being prosecuted by the state because they're doing the right thing. I think too often, sometimes these families don't seek out getting help for the simple reason of because they're afraid. Hey, if I go get help, I'm going to be prosecuted for that. Or my kids might get taken away. So my bill gives protection to that.
Representative, you've served in the House now for a while. You're running to be in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the greatest traditions in the state of Missouri is the Missouri Senate. Names like Matheson and Caskey and Webster, Richard, Dempsey kind of have given a great tradition for folks to run for and serve in. What do you view the role of the Senate? And while we're talking about the history of the Senate, what do you view the role in moving the previous question, which would end debate?
Thank you. The previous question ends debate. My opponent brags about filibustering a bill that would have provided good job opportunities in Wentzville for our auto workers, and yet he also brags about stopping the debate on concurrent resolution just in early September. You're either for free and fair conversation in the Senate or you're not. You can't have it both ways. The previous question shuts down the Senate. In having shut down the Senate just in September of this year over the concurrent jurisdiction bill that we said it was a no-go in the House, we've shut down any opportunity that we might go back in a special session to discuss limited liability for our businesses because of COVID. So the extreme position that you shut down debate when you're not happy with what's going on isn't the way that the Senate should move forward in conversations for issues that are important to us. My opponent's extreme positions on shutting down debate when he doesn't get his own way, regardless of the consequences, doesn't serve our state.
Senator Koenig, I watched you move the last abortion, but we talked about it without a PQ. What do you view the role of the Senate in state government, and maybe specifically, what is your thoughts on a PQ when it's time to do and when it's not?
Well, it's certainly a tool that should be extremely limited, but it is a tool in the toolbox and it's going to be used sometimes. I've been known for working in a bipartisan manner to pass a lot of my bills. One bill that I passed was a safe kits bill for rape victims. And, we have a backlog in these kits, thousands of them that were untested. MyBill sets up a central repository for 30 years, allow these kits to be tested, and then also allows the victim to track their kit through the system. Nothing would be worse than being victimized by a crime and then not even knowing if your kit was tested. But there's numerous bills. There's another bill dealing with speech pathology that I passed this year. I passed over 9 bills. You don't do that unless you work with the other side. And so I've constantly throughout my career worked in a bipartisan manner on my bills.
Let's talk about this, something I've heard, Representative, I've heard you talk about Medicaid expansion. Really, the whole time I've known you, you came in, you actually flipped a seat from blue to red in Kirkwood, and you've been a fierce advocate for Medicaid expansion. Now, I've had folks sit and tell me, oh, in year one, it's going to be all roses and neutral. And I was like, I tend to believe you in year three. Year one seems a little lean. We talk about Medicaid expansion. If all the best projections don't come in, where will you get that money from?
Well, thank you for knowing that I flipped the seat. But my district voted for Medicaid expansion by 70%. That's a large percentage of people in this district. We have the money set aside, actually, in a cash operating expense fund right now. The thing with Medicaid...
Explain that for folks, because you know the state budget as well as anybody I know. What does that mean?
There's a special fund that has over $150 million in it right now.
Wow.
And it's cash operating, it's in reserves, and so that money has come to us through the Medicaid program right now, and it's sitting ready to implement Medicaid. For every dollar, we have to prime the pump. For every dollar we put in, we're going to get 90 cents back. Today we get 65 cents back. And here's the best part about it. We're paying dollars today that we're not reimbursed anything for. And when we expand Medicaid, we're going to get 90 cents back. So actually in year 2 and 3, as other states have demonstrated, we have a positive income by expanding Medicaid. Yes, we have to prime the pot. Right now the best guesstimate is about $60 million. Yes, it ranges from $0 to $220 million. The best estimate is $60 million. And as I said, we've got $150 million sitting aside in reserves to be able to expand Medicaid.
I'll come back to the positive part about that, but let me ask you first, Senator. The money would have to come from somewhere. There could be a fund here, but tell me, if all the great projections don't come in and you do have to prime the pump, as I think, I always assume, you know, not a lot of free lunches in the world. Where does that money come from?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the first year there will be a cost. I mean, where the money would come from, I would, any kind of cutting back on corporate welfare, I'm very much against. You just heard the representative say she supported handing out millions of dollars to corporations, multi-billion-dollar corporations, giving money to stadiums. Those are policies that I'm against, and I'd certainly, that's the place where I would go. Now, it's a little bit challenging because those have already been locked in place. But I don't think it'll be a huge amount of money to fund Medicaid expansion because the feds are matching 90% of it.
Representative, you've talked a lot of times and you've always focused on the positives of Medicaid expansion. There'll be a lot of folks that do have health care paid for by the government that had to pay for it themselves before.
Well, not paid for by the government. It gives them the opportunity to have affordable health care. It opens up the opportunity for people to purchase health care. And that's the gap that we've had from expansion of the Affordable Care Act and Missouri. Today, to get Medicaid, you have to be at 20% or less of income. What expanding Medicaid does is allow people in the gap from 20% to 130% to buy their insurance on the exchange.
Walk me through that. If you don't have health care today, and Medicaid expansion is passed, whenever it's enacted, what will be your process to actually, if you're watching this, you don't have health care, what will be your process if you're eligible for it now to actually get covered?
Well, you'll have to figure out where you are on the scale of income, and then if you're inside of the 20 to 133% of poverty, and then it goes higher if you have family, if you have children, that you'll be able to afford in your insurance premiums on the exchange because we've expanded healthcare.
Senator, one of the big things I heard coming out of this is going to help provide for some of the rural health care, because the facts are the facts. A lot of rural hospitals have shut down. You have to drive hours and hours in a lot of parts of this state to get to a hospital. However, when you talk about funding things by the state government, you talk about that dollar for the 90 cents back, it comes from your constituents disproportionately. Is this another program that folks in St. Louis are going to pay for folks in other parts of the state that may benefit from?
Yeah, I mean, the one concern that I have is, you know, the Medicaid program doesn't always, sometimes you have trouble finding a doctor. Sometimes it's a program that is broken in some sense. And we've had foster kids that have been on Medicaid, and sometimes you have trouble finding a doctor or even get care. So one thing, you know, one thing I want to make sure is, I want to make sure that the program would actually work, so that way, you know, yes, you have health insurance, but do you get health care?
Yep.
And I think that's really important. And when it comes to rural hospitals, we've seen rural hospitals in Arkansas close down, even though they've expanded Medicaid. So this notion that expanding Medicaid is somehow going to save rural hospitals, I think is not a true statement.
Representative Lavender, kind of to close up, if you're a teacher in Fenton and you haven't voted yet, mm-hmm. what would you like to say to that person before they cast that ballot?
Well, I'd like to say I'm Deb Lavender. I'm running for state senate, and I hope I've earned your vote today. I listen to my constituents. Over the time I've served in the legislature, you've told me you were against right to work, and I've never voted to support the right to work legislation. You've told me that you're interested in minimum wage increase for those living at the lower level of our income level. I've listened to you, and I've never voted to take away anybody's minimum wage for their salaries. You told me 2 years ago that you wanted clean Missouri in this state, and I voted against Dirty Missouri that is now on your ballot as Amendment 3 to redistrict this state in a very partisan manner. So I've listened to you, but I'd like to let you know that my opponent never has. He's voted against you on all three of those issues. So right now I have a question for my opponent, Senator Koenig. If you're not listening to the people of this district, why should they vote for you?
Senator Koenig, let me ask you, if you're say you're a nurse out in Valley Park, why should they reelect you to the state senate to represent them?
Yeah, I'm State Senator Andrew Koenig, and I'm certainly asking for your vote. You know, I cut Missouri's income tax for the first time in nearly 100 years. I oppose corporate welfare. I have five kids. When I take my five kids out, I take my twin five-year-olds. I just went on a bike ride with them, and we rode to the park. I want my family to feel safe, just like you want your family to feel safe. And that's why I sponsored a bill to allow our Attorney General to prosecute murders in the city of St. Louis. I'm endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police here in the city of here in St. Louis County, and at the state level. And so I'm going to continue to back the police and make sure they're well funded. We should never defund them. And so I'm certainly asking for your vote on November 3rd.
Senator Koenig, well, thank you so much for joining us. Representative Lavender, thank you so much for joining us.
You
watch these things on the national level, and usually it's a little chippy. Sometimes it's just a dumpster fire. I really appreciate both of you coming here and actually having. I think I learned stuff about both the issues and both of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you'll join us next week. We'll be right back here in our St. Louis studio for 2 weeks out from the election broadcast of This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our Show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, One County at a Time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually till lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android, Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.